You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
Good morning, good afternoon, and of course, good evening. Whatever time it is, wherever you are when you are listening, this is the Monsters and Friends podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to the lesser-known cryptids, legends, and lore of the world. You know Bigfoot and Mothman and Nessie and Sasquatch. You know Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the lesser-known cryptids of all? We're here to tell you about the monsters and stories that you may not have heard of throughout your daily life. I am your ever-exhausted host, Michael Patrick, and I really want to say sorry for not putting on a show last week. The cabin had to be relocated and make way for a Starbucks, so we had to miss a week. With that being said, though, I am coming to you not live whatsoever from the beautiful shorelines and rolling hills and mountains of Old Dominion herself. This week, we drive the Winnebago southeast and head into Virginia. Yet again, this is a state that I absolutely adore. I've spent a fair amount of time here, and every single time I come here, I find something else amazing to explore and discover. I'd say that I'm a professional adventurer by nature, but that's just really a fancy way of saying that I quite love getting lost. But the best part of getting lost is that there are so many people and places that you can discover. This week is no exception when it comes to our friends from the Cavalier State that I will most definitely be introducing to you, the amazing people. But before I do that, let's talk a wee bit about Virginia. This state is a legend haven. They don't have quite as many cryptids as their neighbors like West Virginia and Maryland, but there's so many legends and stories that are amazing that come out of this state. It's one of the oldest and most lengthy occupied areas in the entirety of the United States, and there is no shortage of things to talk about. Let's take Roanoke, for example, right? It's one of the U.S.'s greatest mysteries. What happened to the colonists there? What did it mean when they carved Croatoan into the wall? That's just the maiden voyage of weird when it comes to Virginia. As always, as the week moves on before next week's pod, I'll make sure to post some other legends and stories on social media to kind of help give an example of what else this amazing state has to offer. But before I get too far ahead of myself, though, let's set up the camp chairs, light the fire, bust out some bevies, and meet some friends from the Old Dominion, Virginia. Before we do that, though, let's hear from our sponsor. Well, this is more of a plea for a sponsorship. Dunkin' Donuts, please save us. You're our only hope. And we're back. This week, our first cryptid is a rather interesting one. Why, you ask? Well, because it creeps me the heck out. Also, it's interesting because it seemingly shares some similarities with another friend that we met earlier in Michigan. Our first friend this week is the Little Red Devil. Way back in the day when we first started our road trip, we visited the state of Michigan and we learned about this little creature called the Nain Rouge. That's French for the Red Dwarf. I learned that. We met the Nain Rouge, but here in Virginia, there's another creature that seems fairly similar to this one. I would like for you all to meet the Little Red Devil. You will be absolutely amazed at how he got his name. He's been around Virginia for about the last 60 years or so. The majority of the time, the little red devil, who we're going to name Siegfried for the sake of ease, is mostly seen throughout the eastern shore of Virginia. But, I mean, in truth be told, he's been spotted all over the state. There have been a lot of sightings of this little fine fella, but before we jump into that, let's take a peek into what Siegfried looks like. Siegfried, the little red devil, looks like a little red devil. Thanks for coming, folks. My work here is done. But seriously, he's named as is because of how he looks. According to most that have seen him, he's described as being somewhere between 2 and 3 feet tall. The majority of sightings put him towards the latter end of that, but, I mean, no one has really asked him to get on a scale or pulled out a measuring tape to measure his height recently, so, yeah. He's kind of a small guy, though, you know what I mean? Most folks say when they see him, he kind of has a reddish-pink hue to him. He's been described as having no hair in earlier stories, but most have him having kind of a reddish hair that covers the majority of his body. Well, except for his face, of course. Siegfried probably has laser treatments because, you know, he doesn't want to get food stuck in his little red face beard thing, or that's his moneymaker. Speaking of his face, Siegfried has these big, kind of set-in, withdrawn-ish, shiny eyes. One of the first accounts noted that he didn't have a nose, though, or at least the person didn't notice it. But he did have a mouth, all the better to eat you. Another pretty prominent part of Siegfried's description is the fact that he doesn't have normal, scary legs. Rather, he has hooves. Think of it kind of like a satyr. If you know what a satyr is, Google it and you'll figure it out. But his legs have been described as having, like, the backwards knee, hooves on the bottom, and pretty furry. Another distinct feature of this dude is that he has a great sense of humor. And by that, I mean sometimes Siegfried will let off a terrible, high-pitched, shrill laugh at the expense of all of his new friends. It's been described as somewhat bone-chilling, but I'd imagine it would just, you know, make me chuckle along and stuff. I mean, dude's just having some fun, right? One of the better parts of this critter, though, or man, or whatever it is that he seems to be pretty lighthearted. He's not there to create too many bad experiences, he's just here to party. Let's take the first sighting, for example. In the late spring or early summer of 1968, there was a gentleman named Bob. Bob has a pretty big family, and his first sighting of Siegfried happened on the night he welcomed in one of his brothers. That's correct, his mother was giving birth. His dad told the kids to go outside and wash their hands because, I really don't know why, but they obliged as good kids would normally do. They stepped outside on the porch to follow directions when they saw something hop up on the porch with them. Bob stood there in silence and just watched this creature as it just stood there and stared back at him. He tried to tell his brother to run, but his vocal cords, for some reason, went kaputz. He instead just scooped up his brother and he ran inside, quote-unquote, like lightning. This isn't the only encounter with Siegfried, though. However, it seems like he took a majority of the 70s and 80s off, because, you know, parties and stuff. But the 90s saw quite a spike in sightings. In the spring of 1992, another encounter was documented. It was described as follows. It was a Tuesday afternoon after high school. Having time to kill before marching band practice that night, a friend and myself decided to visit a local nature trail, you know, in hopes of scaring some of our friends later that night. We arrived at the trail at around 4:30 p.m. and walked approximately 200 yards back into the trail when we saw a creature off to our right. It was around 2 to 3 feet tall and covered with red fur. It gave a shrill laugh, at which point my friend freaked out and started to run back down the path. The creature chased him for about 10 to 20 feet before it turned around, looked at me, and then ran off into the woods with the same shrill laugh. See, it sounds like this guy just is here for a good time. He's not trying to do anything bad. He's trying to create mischief. There are other countless encounters like this with the same little creature. Most people catch a glimpse of it or just see it for a very short time. That brings up the age-old question of what the heck is it? There are a few options when it comes to old Siegfried here. The first one that pops to mind is that he's simply a legend. People have heard the story throughout their life and want their own experience. So you're in the forest, this little thing runs up on you, and bam. Fairy book ending, right? You and Siegfried are indelibly tied together on some GeoCities website for the rest of eternity. And not to say that people are lying per se, but when you have the idea kind of rolling around in your noodle and then you see something, immediately it's that little forest maniac messing with you. That's what pops into your head. Then there's also the other side to the legend piece. A fair amount of times you can tie some of these legends back to Native American lore. In this case, there is one that might offer up some sort of an explanation. It's a little people called, and forgive me for destroying this, the Geolud Mosigeg. I'm really sorry. But they are literally just that. They're little people. Like, they're somewhere between 2 and 3 feet tall, and they're very naughty. Or sometimes they can be nice. You know, they're like the North Pole elves, except they don't do presents. Well, you know, but they do, but they're not fun ones. You know, anyway, off topic. This story shares some similarities with the Little Red Devils of Virginia, but honestly, the connection seems to be pretty far off. Of course, then the extreme other end of the legend line is, it's a hoax. This kind of ties back to the legend part, but people know and hear stories of the Little Red Devil of Virginia, and they think they can tie themselves together in the form of a story. Some stories do seem too good to be true, but like we always say, you really have no idea. I know that sometimes people do hear these legends, and they simply want to get their name out there, and they want to be on a website, and they want to have an experience. Some people think that that's exactly what this is. I do know, though, that some people believe that the Little Red Devil is a legitimate creature living around Virginia. Some people think that the earliest sightings of the Little Red Devil was when it was hairless. That might have been when it was young, when it was a baby. Then you have the red furry Siegfried, and that would be him kind of as an adolescent, I suppose. And now a lot of the sightings from people have this creature being kind of red, pink, more towards white. You know, I'm heading there myself, and, you know, I don't even cause mischief or run around the woods, but I got some salt in my pepper. No matter what Siegfried is, he's one heck of a tale. Our next friend is also one that is super awesome. Why is it super awesome, you may be wondering? Well, it's because it's a creature that inspired one of my favorite movie sayings ever.
Wolfman's got nards!
That's right, we are talking about the Wolfman. Well, not any old Wolfman, though. We're talking about a local legend centered around Richmond, Virginia in Henrico County. This is the Henrico Werewolf. And we describe him as a werewolf, but he actually has a few different names. Some people call him the Wolfman of Richmond, or even occasionally he gets labeled as a Dogman, and we'll get more into that a little bit later. That being said, though, we don't really know what he is, or who, or how, or any of those W words. It's kind of a strange being that hardly many people have legitimately seen, though. There's a lot of my second cousin's boyfriend's uncle, mechanic's aunt's mom's neighbor saw the Wolfman. But in Henrico County, there is something there. What is it, though? Shrug. Let's start with what we've heard about it thus far, though, shall we? The Henrico Werewolf has been spotted more often than not, like every time, in one place. And that's around the Confederate Hills Recreation Center in Highland Spring, Virginia. I'm not going to give you the street address because you can just Google it. If you're ever around there, go find the Wolfman. But obviously, like a true werewolf, it's been spotted mostly around the time of the full moon. You know, when it normally would. As far as a description, most have it somewhere around 6 feet tall and pretty bulky. Grayish-white hair covers its mostly human-like body, but like most werewolves, its head and face is distinctly wolfy. It is most known to stand on 2 legs like a person, but it obviously has been known to run on all fours when it's trying to escape from wherever or whoever is around. It's literally a trademark textbook werewolf, complete with howling at the full moon, too. It's also incredibly playful, and it really likes to chase people. There's one particular story that talked about how the individual was sitting on a bench and When she looked up, the werewolf was crouched down about 5 feet away from her. When it saw her look at it, it sauntered off right into the woods. It plays with people as if it were a puppy. Is it possible that people are literally just hanging out with their dog? I have no idea. Here's a weird thing about the Henrico werewolf, though. When doing a cursory search of the Henrico werewolf, you get a lot of talk about a hoax or a prank or something as simple as that. The thing is, though, when you dig deeper, you get more information and it tells a much larger tale. In the state of Virginia, werewolves might not be what a lot of people are talking about, but there's another canine creature that is known throughout the state. While it's not specifically the Henrico werewolf, the Virginia Dogman is known to wander through Old Dominion. This is remarkably similar to the Henrico werewolf, though. How, you ask? Well, let me tell you. When you describe a dogman, it's generally described as being a bipedal, humanoid-like creature that stands about 6 feet tall. They have the head of a wolf and the body of a man. They have the head of a wolf and the body of a man, just like the Henrico werewolf. The Virginia chapter of the North American Dogman Project does a fantastic job of highlighting some of the actual first-hand accounts and description of a dogman seen throughout Virginia. Or maybe numerous dogmen, I'm not really sure. But one such encounter happened in 1990 in Danville, Virginia. A woman called the police because she claimed that something outside had dragged her dog off into the woods. She was very shaken and she was very sure that this wasn't just a wolf or a coyote. She said it was something bigger than that. The officer arrived at this woman's house and proceeded to shine his flashlight throughout her yard trying to find the dog. Eventually, he heard a crunching noise in the tree line, and when he looked, he saw what he described as a dog man. He raised his shotgun, he took aim, and he fired a shot at it. Presumably, he hit the dog man based on its reaction. As it took off, though, it did let out a loud howl while it was retreating. There are other such encounters with these dogmen described by numerous people. There was even a case in 2004 of a family of dogmen messing with this family. They didn't and don't really seem to want to hurt anyone, but they also don't really seem super awesome and caring as they chomp on your dogs and cats and maybe kids. Either way, though, something is trudging through Virginia on all fours, or sometimes twos, terrorizing people's imagination. No one can agree on what this thing is, though. Yeah, I know. Shock, right? Why would people think these things aren't real? As far as the Henrico werewolf goes, a lot of people believe it was nothing more than a prank pulled by some kids. At one point, some kids did own up to pulling this prank, and they said that they didn't see anything, they were just trying to drum up some news, but you know what? There are other accounts that don't take these kids into consideration. Things that maybe go back a little further, or from times when they're not around. Again, though, the biggest thing against the Henrico werewolf is the whole game of telephone when it comes to sightings. But that takes us to the sightings of the dogmen throughout the state, and you know what? On an even bigger scale, the country. They've been seen in a lot of places, and the reports are generally not from people you'd assume were just fame chasers. It's just from normal, everyday people that don't want the fame. Some people also believe that these sightings might not actually be a dogman at all. Some people believe that this simply might be a misidentified Bigfoot. There's some that have been known to be a bit lighter in color. Pennsylvania has the white ape, which is a white Bigfoot, basically, and like the little red devil, maybe they go gray as they age. You know, being silver foxes and all. Others think that it's just legitimately a misidentified wolf. There are wolves all over the country that sometimes can be quite big. But honestly, too, why couldn't it be that either? If we can believe that Bigfoot is able to evade detection, why couldn't a pack of larger-than-normal wolves do that either? Who knows, right? The only way we'll ever truly find out is if we happen to see one with our own eyes. What I do see, though, is amazing support. The last few weeks have been kind of strenuous and tedious in the Patrick household, and I just want to thank each and every one of you for two things. One, listening. My downloads and listens have been through the roof the last 2 weeks. Big shout out to the Graveyard Tales gentlemen for that one. Big, big help. Thanks, guys. Number two, bearing with me through this move and some other big life changes, but you are who I do this for. I always said if I could get 10 people to listen, that would be amazing. Now, here I am about 300 downloads away from 5,000, and I couldn't be more ecstatic. But it doesn't end there, everyone. I want to keep growing and growing. In order to do that, though, I need your help. If you listen to this but don't subscribe, please head to Apple Podcasts and do just that. I'm not in this for sponsorships or money. I mean, well, except for Dunkin' Donuts. But more overall, I'm in this to spread the good word about cryptids and a lot of these stories and legends that I share with you guys. For that, though, I need to climb the charts. I'm not looking to be number one, but the higher I can get, the more people can see that. The more subscribers I have, the more this podcast gets known. It's not about likes or reviews, even though I really, really enjoy those too. It's about subscriptions. So if you could help a fool out and subscribe and share the podcast on Twitter or Facebook, that would be amazing. Speaking of the Twitter, I always love seeing the peeps on Twitter, and I'm always looking for feedback. And yes, I'm aware people don't say peeps anymore. But follow us on Twitter at MNFPod, and feel free to suggest things for future shows. Tell me that I breathe too much during the podcast, or whatever it is. Also, make sure to check out at Monsters and Friends on Instagram, and you can totally find us on Facebook. I know that some of you out there still use that, so please give us a like. Also, please make sure that you spend some time giving some love to my podcast family, the Straight Up Strange Crew. We all work hard to bring you some amazing podcasts, so give them a listen. There's plenty there to fill the void and shows from every genre you can think of. So make sure to follow them on Twitter at Strange Podcasts, or you can find them on Facebook too. As for me, I'm going to go ahead and make a s'more, sip on a daddy soda, and drift off underneath the Virginia sky. Thank you so much for spending time with us, and we'll chat again real soon.